Good morning. Welcome to West End United Methodist Church. We have the privilege of worshiping the God of all creation. Let us begin. Once again, good morning and welcome to worship at West End. We're delighted that you've chosen to join us, especially if you're here for the very first time. We're pleased that you've joined us. Those of us who are here week in and week out sometimes don't make the effort we should to greet you and welcome you. So today we're going to do that, aren't we? I need to see some heads nodding. Today we're going to introduce ourselves to you. And if we don't get to you soon enough, you introduce yourself to us, because we're pleased that you're here and we want you to find a home here. There are several inserts in your bulletin. I hope you'll look at all of them. There are many, many ways that you can be a part of what God is doing in and through this congregation, and you'll find those in those inserts. I want to lift up a couple of things. First of all, we need prayer partners for our Guatemala mission team, and you'll see an insert. Over the next few weeks, we'll be introducing members of that team. There, on the back of that, there are a list of prayers that you can say during the week they'll be going on the mission trip. But if you would like to be an official prayer partner, contact Sarah McCormick. She can help you do that. Also, our spring stock sale to support our summer mission trips for youth is still in process. There will be a table in Reed Hall. You're welcome to go out there after the service. Even if you can't be with these youth in person, you can be with them in spirit as you buy stock to help support their work, God's work, in our name and on our behalf. The folks who will be out there to help you today are Katie Bryant, Jackson Bryant, and Maggie Johnson. After the service, I know you'll want to step out and speak to them. So what are you looking at? What are you here for? Just because it's Sunday morning? Just because it's what you do? You know what? Because you're here, right now, you just might encounter the fiery presence of the living God.
Hallelujah. We have come to praise God, the Almighty God,
who answers the forces of hatred and hurt with the power of grace.
We have come to worship God, all gracious God,
who chooses even you and me to receive and carry the word of life and hope.
Through the death and resurrection of Jesus, the forgiveness of sin is possible for all who seek forgiveness. Let us humbly approach God, where we will find grace and mercy. Let us pray together. Too often, Lord God,
we are hesitant in our proclamation, seeking safe and suitable opportunities to speak our faith. Too often, Lord God, we are half-hearted in our service, reluctant to stand out from the crowd or to attract criticism. Too often, Lord God, we live as if dependent wholly on our own resources, relying on our perceived skills and modest insights. Too often, Lord God, we look to the clouds for our inspiration in the vain hope of finding you there. Forgive the poverty of our efforts and the frailty of our faith, and open wide our hearts and minds to the imminent presence of our risen and living Lord Jesus Christ. God's love is given to you, and the power of God will enable you to be witnesses for God in this world. Be of great courage. Amen.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Acts of the Apostles. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up towards heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated, and if there are other youngsters who would care to come forward and join us, we would be delighted for you to do that. And parents, if you want to come with them, that's fine too. Come on up and have a seat. Well, today is a very special day for a couple of reasons. First of all, in the church calendar, it's called Ascension Sunday, and it remembers Jesus going to be with God, and that's the story you just heard Henry read. But it's also Mother's Day, isn't it? And I want to tell you a story. Now, I have to say, this is a story that I can't tell you for sure that I remember because I was so young, but my mother told it to me so many times that it seems like I can remember it. I was just a little bitty boy, and my mother had to go into the hospital, so her sister Maybelle, my Aunt Maybelle, came to stay with us to help take care of me, and it was the middle of the night. I must have had a bad dream because I woke up crying and calling out for my mama, and so Aunt Belle, as we called her, came in there, and since she was my mother's sister and looked a good bit like her and sounded a good bit like her, she thought, now I can fool him into thinking I'm his mama. So she patted me on the back and she said, it's all right, honey. Mama's here. I jumped straight up and I said, you're not my mama. And I went and got in bed with Daddy. Well, you know, that was true. I mean, she was my aunt. She wasn't my mother. My mother had actually given me birth. But Aunt Maybelle was never able to have children of her own. And I was always her boy, too. I had another aunt whose name was Ann, who never had children. But I'll tell you what, she treated me like her own son. So today we remember all those mothers who gave us birth. But you know, there are some women who would love to be mothers, but it just doesn't happen for them. Sometimes they will adopt. Sometimes they become mothers marrying into a family with children. Sometimes they are just mothers to all the children they meet. It might be a teacher, a Sunday school teacher, or a friend, or an aunt. But the important thing here is that they share God's love, which is like a mother's love. It's kind of funny because when Jesus was trying to tell people about God's love, he used a really funny example. He said, I'm like a mother hen trying to gather up all my chicks under my wings. Now, why in the world would Jesus compare himself to a chicken, do you think? It's because everybody standing there had seen mother hens try to gather up their chicks and take care of them and protect them. Jesus knew that God's love was like the love of that mother hen, like the love of a human mother, and even though he was a man, he wanted to communicate that because he was also God's love in the flesh. So today we can celebrate all kinds of mothers. I grew up with lots and lots of mothers in addition to the mother who gave me birth. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for all the love you've shared with us so freely. For those mothers who gave us birth, for those who chose us, for those who yearn to give birth but don't, and so share their love in other ways. We thank you for Jesus who shared your motherly love with us. And most of all, we thank you that we can share that love with others. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for coming down. Our reading this morning comes right at the beginning of the second volume of a two-volume work written by someone we call Luke. The first volume is the Gospel according to Luke. The second volume is the Acts of the Apostles. Although I had a professor, and I've mentioned this before, but it's worth repeating, I had a professor who used to say that book should not be called the Acts of the Apostles. It should be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit that is the driving force throughout that entire book, and the disciples simply follow it. In any case, we're right at the beginning of that second volume. Jesus has been explaining one more time that the Spirit of God is going to come upon his followers, and when he finishes explaining they ask a question that indicates they haven't been listening. They say, now, isn't this the time you're going to reestablish the reign of God in the kingdom of Israel? Throughout his ministry, he had been trying to explain to them that the reign of God was completely different than what they expected. But here, after they had seen him crucified, after they had seen the empty tomb, after they had encountered him, they still don't get it. They still think that Jesus is going to be a kind of king, and the Romans are going to be driven out, and the reign of God is going to be established on that mountain, and they are going to have high positions in the government. Now, is this the time that you're going to establish the reign of God on the earth? And Jesus says, it's not for you to know the time. This is not something you need to worry about. This is way above your pay grade, okay? I'm not worried about that. But what I want you to do is to open your eyes and your ears and your minds and your hearts, and you're going to receive power. But it's not the kind of power you expect. And you are going to have really important roles in the world, but they're not the kind of positions you expect. Because you see, the power that's going to come is God's Spirit. And when it comes to you, you'll be my witnesses, not just here in Judea, but in Galilee and to the ends of the earth. That was not exactly what they were planning. When we decide we are going to say that we will be God's witnesses, we kind of think we know what we're promising, don't we? Believe me, we don't any more than they did. Jesus goes to be with God, and they are there waiting for that power to come upon them, waiting for the Spirit of God to descend upon them, and they chose to do what basically every other religious organization has done in times like that. They had a committee meeting. That's right, you can read it. There were only 11 of them, and they had to replace the 12th. So they had a committee meeting in order to replace that 12th person so they could have a full committee. You see, even the earliest Christians were Methodists, weren't they? Well, they replaced that person, and then, of course, the Holy Spirit does come upon them. That's a story for Pentecost. That's a story for next week. But they're in that interim. They're in that meantime when they think they know what they promised to do, and they have no idea. They are going to be sent not just beyond Judea, not just beyond Galilee. They're going to be sent into places they never expected or wanted to go. They are going to be sent among people who do not want to hear what they have to say. They are going to be kicked out of the synagogues. They are going to be kicked out of some of the other gatherings because people don't want to hear what they have to say. They had no idea what they had signed up for. And quite frankly, neither do we. After all, it's a sobering thing to remember that of those who followed Jesus, every single one met their death as witnesses to the good news, except for one, as far as we know. That is a sobering thought. We like our lives to be predictable. We think we know what's going to happen next. A little bit later in the service, we're going to be celebrating our high school seniors about to graduate or having graduated. And you think you know what college is going to be like, don't you? You have no idea. I can guarantee you, you have no idea. You think you know what the rest of your life is going to be like. You have no idea. Before we do a wedding here at West End, we always provide premarital counseling. It's an important thing. It's important for people to talk about some of the issues they need to talk about before they make that kind of commitment. But there is absolutely no way you can really prepare someone to commit their life, to live the rest of their lives in companionship with another person. You have no idea. In the first place, you're not just marrying that other person, you're marrying the whole tribe. If you don't know that, you'll learn it pretty quickly. There's no way that we can actually prepare people for what's going to come. We had a couple of our interns graduate from Divinity School, Nancy Hawthorne and Marcus Womack. Nancy will be continuing with us, and Marcus is in Texas beginning to serve a church there. But you know, when you graduate from Divinity School and you're getting ready to go through the process toward ordination, you have no idea what it's going to be like to serve a church. In our denomination, you have no idea where you're going to wind up, because that's up to the bishop. You will go where the bishop sends you. There is no way to genuinely prepare people for everything that we will encounter in ministry, and that doesn't just apply to the ordained. You will be Christ's witnesses, and there is absolutely no way we can adequately prepare you for what's going to happen. Now, that sounds kind of scary, but you don't go alone. Jesus says, "I will give you the Holy Spirit to go with you." God's Spirit will continue to work in you and through you, will lead you and guide you and support you and surround you, so that no matter where you are not alone. When I was in my first year of seminary, one of the things we were required to do was go to a retirement complex. It was a fairly large one in Evanston, Illinois, and we were assigned certain individuals to visit. I was assigned a retired missionary couple, both of them in their 90s at that point, Dr. and Mrs. Kaur, and they had been missionaries in India. Dr. Kaur had lost most of his eyesight. He could barely see at all, although he had committed long passages of Scripture to memory in the King James. Mrs. Kaur was confined to a wheelchair, so she couldn't get around very easily, although the apartment was small. But she would always say, "You know, I'm his eyes, he's my legs." They made it work. There's no way when those two married that they would ever have imagined the life that they were living at that moment. As I visited with them, Dr. Kaur confessed that he was the least likely of persons to be a missionary, because he wasn't good with languages. He didn't have a facility with learning new languages. He struggled. And so when he went into the mission field, he preached as best he could in English. There were people to translate, of course. But then he decided he was going to preach in the local native tongue. So he worked really, really hard to prepare himself, to prepare his sermon. It was all written out word for word, even phonetically when he needed to do that for the pronunciation of the words. He said, "I was so pleased with myself. I was frightened to death, but I was going to preach to the people in their own language." And so he said, "I stood, I read through the sermon. People were warm and gracious, and I thought, boy, I've done a great job, until I heard two people talking over at the side, and one said to the other, 'I thought he was going to preach in our language today.'" They hadn't understood a word. But what they did understand was that he was trying very hard to be among them in a way that they could understand. That it was God's love working through him that made him struggle to learn, stand up and take the risk to speak and read in another language. And even if he failed, that love did not fail. They spent over 40 years in the mission field. They were well loved there. We never know where God is going to call us. We never know where God is going to lead us. We are to be God's witnesses to the ends of the earth. That's a pretty broad swath, isn't it? We never know what's going to be required of us. We never know what joys we'll experience or what sacrifices will be required. What we do know, beyond question, is that God will never leave us alone doing that. God's Spirit accompanies us every single step of the way. Do we know when the kingdom of Israel will be established? Heavens, no. Do we know when Jesus will return? Heavens, no. That's a waste of time to worry about those things. What we are supposed to be about is being God's witnesses. From Nashville, through Tennessee, through the U.S., to the ends of the world. I guess you would say the bad news is we don't know where that's going to take us. And we don't know who we will come in contact with on the way. But the good news is, we will not travel alone. God's Spirit is our companion, breathing through our own breath, sharing that divine love through all that we do, through all that we say, even in our silences. The choir can tell you, and others in worship leadership can tell you, that's the prayer I pray before we come in here, that we will become transparent to God's love, that you'll forget it's us up here, and that what you will experience is that love beyond our words, beyond our singing, beyond our silences, that in everything you will experience the breath of God, which is God's Spirit. I love it when kids cry. I do, because it means the church is alive. There is nothing quieter than a graveyard, okay? Just know that. And I love that. That is the voice of God speaking to us. That is the Holy Spirit breaking in for us. Because you see, we want our worship and our lives and everything else to be predictable, and they're not. But in their unpredictability, we are never alone. Not one moment of the day or night. We are never alone. The best thing is, God is with us. Thanks be to God. Now, when we craft our affirmations of faith, sometimes we go back to traditional versions or write new versions, and occasionally we even go to Scripture. So, if you will stand with me as you're able, turn to number 889 in your hymnal. You'll find there an affirmation taken from 1 Timothy. There is one God and there is one mediator, Christ Jesus, who came as a ransom for all, to whom we testify. This saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, and was manifested in the Spirit, vindicated in the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed in throughout the world, taken up in glory. Great indeed is the mystery of the gospel.
What a beautiful blessing it is that God has called us together for worship today. If you are a guest, please join us for a time of fellowship after the service in Reed Hall through the doors to your right. And if it's your first time here, make sure to stop by the Bread for the Journey table. We have a fresh baked gift for you and information about the exciting things going on around here. Please note the gray cards in your pew racks. One side is for comments or questions for staff. The other side is for prayer requests. Please make sure to note if you want your prayer request to be kept confidential. And you can place that card in the offering plate. Also, remember to pass the attendance pad down the row and take note of who's worshiping around you. This morning, we remember in prayer the family of Lucille Smith, who passed away this morning. So funeral arrangements or anything haven't been made yet, but we'll keep her family in our prayers. Let us now move our hearts and minds towards prayer. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Amazing God, we are so grateful that your steadfast love abides forever. Apart from you, we are lost and hopeless. We desperately need you, O God, to be fully human and to reflect your image in the world. Thank you that you have not withheld yourself from us. In the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, we see your love, your grace, the fulfillment of your promises, and the completion of our destiny. Therefore, today we choose to take our suffering, grief, and brokenness and hold it up to you under the bright light of resurrection, which offered new life not only for Christ, but also for every single one of us. Therefore, with heartfelt gratitude, we join your people of all times and places in praising your glorious name for your steadfast love that abides forever. Help us over and over to hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now, in response to the generous work of God in our lives, may we continue to worship through the giving of God's tithes and our offerings.
Thank you.
I'm going to invite the congregation to sit for a moment, and those graduating seniors in the congregation and their parents or grandparents who happen to be here with them, please come forward. We're going to have a time for you to see them and to offer a blessing on them as they make this transition in their lives. Now, you'll only get to see them briefly here, but you can greet them personally in McWhirter Hall following the service. As you go out through the magic doors to the parking lot, make a stop in McWhirter Hall, and you can offer congratulations to these young people and what they have accomplished. It's kind of funny because even though I've only been here 3.5 years, I feel like I've seen some of these folks grow up. I know I haven't seen you completely grow up, but it's a delightful thing for any pastor to see young people grow and move on with their lives. So we're going to offer a prayer of blessing. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for the lives of all these seniors, for the families that help shape them, for the schools that taught them and the teachers who served in those schools teaching them. We thank you for their participation in this congregation where they learned about your love, not simply in classes, but from your people who have loved them and loved them well. And now as they go into a new avenue of life, onto a new adventure, they don't know what to expect. They may think they do. They have no idea where life is going to lead them. But we know, and we pray that they will know, that your presence surrounds them at every moment, that your Spirit fills them, works through them, will lead them and guide them and accompany them every step of the way, not simply for the next 4 years or the next 10 years, but for every day of their lives. We ask your blessing upon them so that in all that they learn and do, they might show forth the light of Christ to the world, your love, especially to those in this world to whom love is a stranger. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I'm going to let them head on down to McWhirter Hall, okay? And that way, they will be there when you arrive to greet them. Congratulations to all. You can grab your stuff if you want and head on down. There was a brunch in Sunday school hour for the graduates and their family. And now you'll have a chance to meet them as well. It's traditional to stand for the sending forth, so let me invite you to stand again. I send you forth into this unpredictable world, never knowing where you may go, whom you may encounter, what you will be called to do. I call you to serve on God and your neighbor in every way you can. And in most of all, the God who was with Jesus and in Jesus, through whom we learned about love, that God who accompanied the first disciples will accompany you every step of the way. Be carried on the breath of God from this place and throughout your lives. Go in peace.